This story of spirit was received from the angel Joseph while Cecilia was in Columbia, South Carolina, at the River House, and Michael was in the mountains of North Carolina at the Quiet Place. Unknown to Cecilia, Michael had become increasingly frustrated with a very dear friend who seemed indifferent to hearing anything about their ongoing spiritual adventures. This was especially frustrating to Michael, because he and this friend used to discuss spiritual matters regularly. However, since they began receiving direct communications from the world of spirit, the friend had expressed little or no interest. As this story began to come in, Cecilia was in the parking lot of a doctor's office, where she had just received a flu shot. Even though the timing was inconvenient, she could feel Joseph's presence all around, and he was adamant and repeated, "This should not wait," saying that Michael should hear this tonight. As he said, "Read this to Michael. He will understand that time is short, and there is work to do." The Time of Each Man. Many are called, but few choose to hear the words. Leave them until it is their time to hear. Be patient with those who live in dust, for they will know in their own time, and even the riders of galloping horses know not. The horses galloped across the plain, and when they reached the edge of the city, the inhabitants saw the riders and thought they knew their purpose. They went immediately to the gates and threw open the drawbridge, for there was to be no battle for the walls of rock. There would be not one drop of blood shed inside the city to pay for the brick and sand and the buildings of man. And the one chosen to speak stepped outside the gates and summoned the would-be marauders with a white flag waving under the power of his right arm. "We are not a wealthy city," he declared, "but take what treasure we have and leave us, and not one sword will be raised against you." "We come not for your treasures," cried back the rider of the horse to the fore. "We come for your allegiance, and no more. Your allegiance to our king is what we ask, and in return you can spend your days in peace under his rule and protection." "What treasure does your king demand?" answered back the crier from the walled city. And the rider of the horse called out, "Love." The inhabitants heard and exchanged puzzled glances and looks of doubt, and questioned what manner of trickery this might be to gain entry into their walled city and walk amongst them, and they were fearful. One of the wealthy city merchants whispered to the crier to offer the riders twice the treasure to be left to their own. And the crier called out the offer, "Twice our treasure to be left alone. What do you say?" "We seek not to plunder your walls. Our king offers his protection for your love." By now, the wealthy merchants and ruling class of the city were growing angry with the apparent insolence of the riders and wondered, did they take them for a town of fools? One of the craftsmen, poor in means but rich in respect, stepped forward. "What harm could come from listening to what the riders have to say? By the year, we increase our wealth and buy our freedom from invading armies who plunder our treasures and leave us to amass another fortune just to be the ransom for fleeting moments and hours." But the city's leaders all grumbled. "You can live for their king if that is your decision. You have nothing to lose. You have no wealth but to feed your family and pay your taxes." Growing tired and weary of the pushing crowds, one of the rich merchants said to the craftsman, "Go if you want. See what their king has to offer if you wish. But you will be proved a fool after a dream." The craftsman hugged his wife and kissed his children. And, before leaving to see what the horseman could promise him, he told his wife that he would return and let her know about this king that would protect them for love. He promised her he would send her a sign, and he departed. The town watched him approach the riders and waited. The speaker for the riders reached toward the man and pulled him up upon his white steed and galloped away with the craftsman waving in the distance. And only the clouds of dust could be seen as the drawbridge was cranked into position and the walled city was left to its own devices. A period of time passed, and an army came and camped outside the city, and when offered a treasure to leave, accepted gladly. The army moved on, richer in goods and losing not a man. and the depleted town worked and amassed another fortune behind its walls. One day the horses galloped across the plain, and when they reached the edge of the city, the inhabitants saw the riders and prepared to barter for the freedom again. But when the one chosen to speak for the city stepped outside the gates with his flag, he stopped in recognition. He saw it was the same riders on the white steeds who had left their walls with but the craftsmen months earlier. The same scene was repeated with the exchange of words, and still the rider of the horse to the fore insisted that they did not come for the treasures of the walled city, but for their allegiance to the king, who promised protection for their love. The attitude of the town was the same, but for the family of the craftsman. Their eyes searched the riders, looking for a sign from their loved one, and they found it. There was the craftsman, sitting high on a white steed, waving in the sunlight, smiling and signaling to follow him. They cried out, "Look, there is our father! See, he is not harmed. The king has not hurt him. He rides with the riders." But still, the powerful and moneyed of the city proclaimed, "Yes, there he rides, on display for all of you to see that he is not beaten or dead. But what does he have? He has nothing but what he is. Look what we have amassed in the time he has been gone. We have made a fortune twice over, and still we keep amassing goods to keep us clothed and fed and growing richer and richer. He has nothing to show for the time. He has nothing." But the craftsmen of the town, and those with less worldly possessions, for the first time questioned the motives of the city's elite. And their growing apprehension did not fall silent on the ears of the leaders. Therefore an edict went out that the story about the craftsman who now rode with a horseman was to be abolished, and those who told or listened to the story would be sent from the city, and the drawbridge closed behind them. And for a while the story remained silent, but in whispers it grew and began to be legend. And each period that passed brought its armies who would take treasures to leave the city behind, and each army took more and more, and still the city would amass great wealth between invasions. Just as the armies of the plunderers came and went, so did the riders of the white steeds. And with each appearance of the galloping horsemen, those wishing to accompany them to the kingdom of protection for love grew in number. As the signs sent or brought by the first goers were seen, they awakened in those left behind the desire to follow without the fear of the city dwellers. Sometimes the sign was the return of the person on steed. Sometimes it was a scarf or a sash or a shirt tied to a horse or an arm of a rider that gave the clue that all was well. Sometimes it was a flower in the hair of one returning to wave a sign that it was good to follow the path. But whether it was by scarf or sash or shirt or a flower in the hair, it was always there, the sign. And those who whispered the story to keep hope alive watched for the signs over the plain, and, one by one, they stepped into the promised kingdom, unafraid, because they knew. Still, the city grew in wealth. It seemed, as much as they paid out for their freedom, they made more and more. Still, the riders returned, offering protection for allegiance and love. And the town leaders smirked and said, when faced with the signs of those departed, "Look, what do they have to offer you? We amass fortunes at will and prosper." "Sure," they began to wave, "but what do they have? What have they done? They have no wealth that we can see. Stay here in the safety of the walls, and let us amass another fortune, and bide our time, and eat the fruits of our labors, and drink the wine of success. We have much. Look at the finery we have." And it was true. The city was rich beyond belief, and the walls were encrusted with gems dug from the caves under the city, and the people grew fat on the riches. But the stories about the promise of the signs continued and grew and began to invade the homes of the wealthy. And eventually it came to pass that those following the signs and the riders who promised protection for love were not just the working people, but the higher born and the industrious. Pretty soon the town began to fall in disrepair because its citizens were dwindling as the followers of the signs were growing in number. One day, when the signs were so numerous that the city elite could not contain the truth, those still clinging to the old ways moaned out, "Look at them! What do they have? We have amassed fortune after fortune, and eat only the best of foods, and wear only the finest of clothing, and lack for nothing. Look at them." And those remaining behind in the walled city did. They looked out from their walled city and saw the signs. They looked back at their city. It was growing old and decaying around them, and the shine of the gold did not hold the glow it once had in the sunlight. But the ones bearing the sign of the king, offering protection for love, looked the same as the day they departed the walled city, except they were glowing. They wore no vestments woven with threads of gold. They wore no raiment of shimmering gemstones. They wore no combs in their hair, but still, they glowed, those bringers of the sign of the king. And the stories grew. One by one, those who followed the signs left the walled city behind, until finally, there was only one very old man still clinging to the way of the walled city. And when the horses galloped across the plain and reached the edge of the city, he struggled to lower the drawbridge and stepped outside the gates before falling to the ground. One rider approached the fallen man from the walled city and descended from his white steed. The fallen man protested with a shaking fist, "What would you take for my freedom?" And the rider reached down and gently lifted the man to his shoulder, saying, "Your love, my brother." And with that, the rider carried the fallen man toward the kingdom, ruled by the king who offered protection for love. As they galloped away from the walled city, the old man looked back to get one last glimpse of his beautiful city, and it began to crumble in his sight. He asked the rider of the white steed, who held him so firmly in his lap, "What has happened to my city and to all its wealth? It is vanishing before my eyes." "Oh," the rider pronounced, above the sound of the galloping of the horse's hooves across the plain of man, "there was never any walled city. In reality, it was not there at all." The old man looked back again to see the last of the walled city crumbled into the earth, and wondered. The city that was not there had been his snare. And he cried as he was deposited into the kingdom of the king, who offered protection for love. When the king came forward to meet him, the man prostrated himself before the king in fear and said, "I have very little love." And the king said, "I will take it."